What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. Wanted to get back into the Commanders. So it is week two. Jason has already said it is a must-win game against the New York Giants.
Does anybody disagree?
I kind of do.
Why? Just because you're not expecting
agree,
it?
Just because...
If you think they're getting to that 9-win mark, this is a must-win.
I guess. It's just...
Or if you want them to get to the 9-win mark.
I do. I mean, I just want them to win as many as they can.
I just feel like it's kind of must-win because the opponent is in such disarray in the Giants, and Daniel Jones just can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
And he's trying to come back from a major injury, and it's not looking good right now. Like, I feel like they have to take advantage of this situation.
Obviously.
Eric, I'm not saying it's a must win because I think they're going to go to the playoffs. I don't think they are. I'm just saying it's a must win because if they lose this, I don't think you can look on the schedule and be comfortable with any game.
Right. Well, so, that part is true.
That's true, but it's true even if you win. Like, here's the thing. We're going to lose games that we shouldn't, and we're going to beat a few teams that you don't think we
You are comfortable
going
to. With
you
one.
It always happens.
You're comfortable with Carolina. Beating Carolina.
Not
at
if
home.
They lose to the Giants.
Even if somehow the Commanders stub their toe and lose to the Giants, I'm comfortable in saying beating Carolina seems to be a no brainer.
I'm right. Picking us. I expect to win.
I am too.
But I also I know we're a flawed team, but I just keep harkening back to when the Giants really gave up like 80 points that one year, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. Remember that?
Yeah.
In the first 2 weeks, they gave up 82 points.
Something
they
like that,
They looked like
yeah.
the worst team
they
ever.
They horrendous.
Yeah. So,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm not saying that's the trajectory for this team. No, but I remember when Marty Schottenheimer was here, and they started out 0-5 and finished 8-8. Mm-hmm. I remember when Gibbs was here. Everybody does. And they started out 0-5 and finished 8-8, and then, they win the Super Bowl the next year? So I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, but you can have a rough start and figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, I just think you got to figure out against bad teams at home, especially your home open.
I'll be disappointed if we lose.
I'll be disappointed if we lose.
It will be a disappointing loss if that
100%, 100%.
Happens.
Well, one of the things that jumped out at most of us, if not all of us, in the week one loss was, all right, offensively, it was the Jaden Daniels show running the ball. But what else did they have? Austin Ekeler, when he touched the ball, looked pretty electric. He only had 2 carries for 10 yards. Also had 4 catches for 52 yards. That's a 13-yard
average.
They're
going to use him more. They're not dumb.
We wanted to get into that. He was on with Grant and Danny. He's going to be on Grant and Danny's show all year long at 5 p.m. Here's some audio about Austin Ekeler talking about whether he'll get more involved in the offense.
How do I get more Austin Ekeler touches? Is it something that just stick aside, buddy? Is it something, in all sincerity, where after a little while you might feel comfortable, you know, maybe tugging on a sleeve of Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, like, I got some ingredients I would like to cook, please. Is there any time where you feel like that could happen?
Hey, well, you know, after that one, I was just tired, so I needed a break.
Okay.
The thing is, look, we're getting a rhythm going. We'll see kind of how things play out. You know, we got some playmakers on the on the field. You know, we want to see some other guys, you know, get the opportunity to make those as well. But when they come your way, you got to be ready for them. And, you know, on that play in particular, like, it's back to, you know, doing what I do, is that's how I made a living in this league. You know, first I was with Phillip Rivers, and so I caught a ton of balls. I've had a, you know, 970 or 97 yard season, 107 catch season. Like, I've made a living off of just turning check downs into chunk plays like that. So one thing you can look forward to is more of that.
I hope that's the case. I mean, he had 107 grabs in 2022, 70 back in 2021. I mean, he's a prolific pass catcher.
Mm-hmm. He had 92 in 2019.
I'd like to see an uptick in his carries too. I mean, yeah.
Give him five to seven instead of two.
Seems like a perfect number.
Look, if he touched the ball six times, mm-hmm. right? Six times. And he had a total of, call it 67 yards, 65 yards, something like that.
He had 62 total yards.
Okay, 62. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, double the touches.
Yeah. And then he'll be
over 100 total yards. He's going to be approaching that.
That'd be fantastic.
Here's what I'll be stunned. I'll be stunned if they don't give him the ball more. If they don't maybe even utilize B-Rob a little bit more mm-hmm. in the passing game, he was flashing. I'll be stunned if they don't incorporate Terry more, make an emphasis of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's the guy who's got to touch the ball
and
more.
You're going to mock me? Yeah. I think Oz is going to bounce back and have an impact a little bit. That's not going to make SportsCenter top 10.
But more than one catch?
Yes, he's going to pop yards. A little bit more. He dropped one on the sideline. He had the bad penalty. He just never got into a rhythm passing the ball either, Jaden. I think Oz is going to.
And we all
Jaden missed him. I don't know that that was a drop.
Well, if you watch Benkert, he loved it. He thought it was a great throw.
If I'm Terry McLaurin, and I know he's the classiest guy ever. If I'm Terry McLaurin, after what happened in the first half, I'm going to go into Kingsbury's office and or Quinn's office, and just I'm going to demand more. I'm going to have a little bit of diva in me and say, look, I'm the best wideout on this roster.
They know that by
a lot. You got to pepper me with targets, and let's not wait until the second half for it to happen.
Well,
let's
it was the first pass. The storyline would have been different if the first pass, the second half,
sure.
where he was open, was connected.
But I'm talking about from the first possession.
Sure.
He's got to be super involved in every possession.
But to get back to Eckler, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, do you want to see Eckler get more involved?
Yes.
I want to see him run the football more than Brian Robinson. I'm going to probably be wrong with our bet because mm-hmm. it looks like they believe Brian Robinson should be the workhorse. And maybe that's the case, but I thought it would be closer to a split share. So Brian Robinson started the game. He gets the first series. Then give Eckler a series running the football on first down. Because to me, Eckler is the better runner. He's definitely the better receiver, and it bears out in this game where he averaged 5 yards per carry, and it was two carries. But Brian Robinson averaged 3.3 yards per carry. In their career, it's similar. Austin Eckler in his career averages 4.4 yards per carry compared to Brian Robinson's 4.
Kippy, there's nobody,
he's a better runner.
There's nobody on the coaching staff that thinks that Brian Robinson is a more talented running back than Austin Eckler. They're managing Eckler's workload.
Maybe they're going to ease him into it. Yeah, maybe.
I think if
he's going to get more than two carries.
If there's a split of 14 total carries, I would want half to go to Eckler.
Sure.
I think Robinson will run better. I'm not sure he had huge holes. I feel like all that pressure, I think our offensive line, I mean, no, they graded Coleman and Beyond. They actually graded those guys fairly well.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I didn't feel like there were big holes.
I feel like he is a weapon in Eckler, and I would utilize him a lot more. Sure, the passing game, that's going to happen. Like, you just heard him talk about it. Again, 800-636-1067. But give him the rock on first down on a couple occasions.
I don't disagree. I think he's going to be on
the
field a
lot more. They may sprinkle that in going forward.
I think Keks is right. I think they're kind of just easing him in.
Right.
He's going to get more than two carries.
I mean, he's a 29-year-old running back coming off of an ankle sprain.
But he looks
a high
good.
Ankle sprain.
But he's healthy.
He looks
healthy.
Good now. But that dogged him through all of last year. So I understand why they're treading lightly early.
And by the way, he was still getting 12, 13, 14 carries a game, even with the bad ankle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying give him 13 carries a game, but you got to give him more than two. You got to give him 7 or 8.
So you know how you always hear about a high ankle sprain?
Yeah.
I've never, and they always say that's the hardest one to get rid of. My son's sprained ankle, I've never seen anything like it. They call it a grade 3 sprain from 7 or 8 inches of his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Purple, is it looks like it's as fat as your thigh. Yeah. Is that a high ankle sprain?
I don't know.
Is that the same thing? I mean, it's so swollen. It's not just the ankle. It goes up the calf leg.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
it looks like an old
man. Does he have a fracture? Because I had that roughly a year ago. Remember my running incident?
We didn't do an x-ray.
I didn't have an x-ray originally. And then a couple months later, my ankle was still killing me. And they did an x-ray and I had a fracture.
Sounds like his ankle got pulled.
They said they don't think it's a fracture. And he can move all his toes and all his extremities and everything.
Rugby injury?
Yeah. Oof. But it is... I mean, if that's a high ankle sprain, I understand why Austin Eckler struggled for a year.
Sure. But
I mean,
as Jason said, he still played all those games, and now it's a year later.
There's a reason that his yards per carry went from 4.5 in 2022 to 3.5 the year he suffered the high ankle sprain.
Yeah. But it's certainly
a full yard difference.
He's got plenty of life left.
But he looks fine. I mean, you saw the burst. Now, he takes some big hits.
Yeah, he does.
He got popped a few times. But that's because he's a smaller guy. I mean, he's 5'9".
And he's willing to mix it up as a blocker, which you know the team obviously
very good
loves.
Blocker. Yeah, he's a good blocker for his size. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would love to see Eckler's touches go up to 10 to 14 this
week. I think it's going to go up simply because, look,
double
I don't think there's going to be another game. It's one game in. Mm-hmm. There's 16 games left. I don't think there's going to be another game where the quarterback – has more carries than the rest of the runners combined.
Right.
So Jaden had 16, and Eckler and Brian Robinson combined for 14.
There might be.
There could be.
I'm not willing to go that far.
But I'm going
to
guess Kingsbury wants there to might keep. Be. He probably wants to keep Jaden's carries 8 to 10.
I'm sure
somewhere
he wants
in that range.
To.
Let's keep him there.
But he's not going to care about that when he's getting flushed.
Right.
You got to remember. So they're probably going to be,
pressure,
especially with this offensive
and he
line.
Tucks it and runs and gouges up for 20 yards and stays upright. It's not taking hellacious shots like he was at LSU. They're going to keep doing it.
Did you watch the, somebody tweeted out the montage of all of his runs? Now he had 16, right?
I feel like I've seen most of them.
And I started counting them, and I don't know if I messed up, and I didn't feel like going back to watch it again to see how many were designed runs versus scrambles. Mm-hmm. And like early on, it was mostly scrambles, and then they started running the designed runs. My count, it was like 8 to 6, but it left off a couple runs. So I think designed runs were probably less than the scrambles, but there was... definitely 5 or 6 minimum designed runs.
Well, then don't bet on the other. Yeah, don't make your other wager because he's going to be flushed a ton, and he's going to probably run a lot of those times. Now, I hope he is able to gather himself and then make some throws on those plays.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he's going to look at the film and see what a lot of these, you know, ex-quarterbacks who put out stuff now and see, oh, I could have thrown right here to Ertz. I could have thrown right here to Terry
McLaurin. Guys are, the coaches are telling him that.
Of course.
Remember, he played 2 quarters in the preseason. Preseason's a joke, you know.
And he's a rookie.
Exactly.
All the rookies struggled.
Well, he struggled less than those other guys, in my opinion.
I think it's factual.
He didn't struggle fantasy-wise. He was the top 3 fantasy quarterback over the weekend. Top 3.
I knew that would be cakes.
Well, that's his strength.
Can I baptize you as a
I mean,
are you
Jaden
there?
Keeps putting up lines like that. I might be ready for the Commander's holy water on my forehead. I could be ready. I'm vulnerable.
You are vulnerable.
I'm very susceptible.
Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. We'll break down Jaden's performance, start looking ahead to the Commanders-Giants matchup. But next, it's EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.
I did. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put up the Junkies poll of the day presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. It was based on what we were talking about earlier. You can vote at Junks Radio. Give us a follow. Is Sunday's game against the Giants a must win for the Commanders? So far, 77% say yes.
Ooh, almost 80%.
You can vote at Junks Radio.
It's, I mean, must win for what? Like Jason said, I guess if you want to get to 9 or 10 wins.
If you want to have a semblance of a decent season, no, just, you have to beat the Giants.
I'm not saying to get to 9 or 10 wins. I don't think they're getting there. I'm just saying to have a, to salvage a turnaround.
Right.
After a bad week one.
I don't think, I think it's a, that's a little over, like you could still turn, you can lose week two and still slowly get better and figure it out. I just don't
think it's possible, but I think it has to start this week.
I think we're going to play better defensively on the whole, and I think we're going to play better offensively, actually. I actually think we're going to play better both ways.
You got to beat the bums when you can beat them. And in my opinion, they're both kind of bum teams, but the Giants are a little bummier than the Commanders, and they're at home. You have to take advantage of those situations.
You're not going to feel good, Mr. Bickle, coming in here next Monday. If they lose to the Giants,
no, I'm going to be miserable.
You're going to right.
I'm going to, of course, but I'm miserable every week.
No, you're not.
Every week. It's, you understand? I'm miserable every week.
If they would have went down and beat Tampa 37-20, you would have been on the moon.
If Jaden threw four touchdowns, you would have been
what?
Yeah. If Jaden had thrown four touchdowns,
yeah, of course. I'm still.
And they lost. The he still would be.
No, hold on. That's probably true.
Happy.
Because it's more important that Jaden develop than some stupid
That's
win.
That's the biggest takeaway of the year, is how he develops throughout 2024.
I've maintained all along, I don't think he did anything to distinguish himself as a passer, but I'm not worried about it. That was just the way the game played out.
In a week one, where passing was down across the league, he finished top 10 in passing, and he rushed for almost 90 yards.
Yeah.
And he didn't turn the ball over. Yeah, that's a pretty good rookie debut.
Eric, I'm not worried.
But you just told me last week, I said, would you rather lose 42-45 or win 9-3? You said, let's win 9-3.
Well, changed his mind.
Well, I don't know. I mean, did I say that?
Yes.
Okay. But I would assume if we win that Jaden played well.
Right. The caveat is Jaden plays well in the 9-3 win.
Yeah.
You take that all day
there's
long.
No question. There's no question. It was the same thing last year. The season's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback.
So you
it's
wouldn't
all that matters.
You wouldn't trade with the Bears and the fact that they won, but Caleb didn't perform very well.
Yeah, I mean, like I didn't see Caleb's performance, but everyone said it was dreadful.
Everyone said it was dreadful. It's the perfect encapsulation why you don't chalk up wins to quarterbacks. Because they won the game, and he played about as well as Mike Marr would have played after taking 10 zins in Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm waffling on that, Drab. Maybe I am. Maybe you're catching me in some sort of waffle. But I just want Jaden to be a superstar. So that's the most important thing to me. I do want to win, believe me. It's zero fun to come in here and get your teeth kicked in by all the snarks when we lose. I don't like it. It's not fun. But I'd rather Jaden play well. And I actually thought he played pretty darn well. It just didn't.
Passing game didn't evolve. He also needs help.
Yeah.
All right. Let's open up the entertainment page driven by BMW Fairfax.
All right. It's driven by BMW Fairfax. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but my guy Mike Walker has no interest in charging you interest. BMW Fairfax, 2.99% on most X Series models for a limited time only. Find out more information at BMWFairfax.com. I was reading a text from my daughter. Forgive me. Dave Grohl, this is a weird bit. He like put out a press release. Somebody said he put out a press release like the Commanders announced the signing of a punter or something.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl announced that he fathered a child outside his marriage, says he plans to be a loving and supportive parent, and he's also going to work to regain the trust and forgiveness of his wife and their kids.
Sounds like that's a bit of a monkey wrench Valdez got thrown into his personal life.
He says, I love my wife and children. I'm doing everything.
Come on. That's a good zing.
I'm doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration toward all the children involved as we move forward together. I don't doubt he loves his wife and children, and he made a massive mistake, or whatever. But man, if that kid's going to be somewhat present in his life, it's going to be hard for the wife. Is going to have to be pretty magnanimous to not.
That's a tough one. It's a tough sell.
Him daily.
It's a tough sell to your wife to have a harmonious home life when you fathered a child outside of your marriage. How old is Dave Grohl? He's like around our age.
56, maybe?
He's maybe a few years older. Yeah. It's not like he's 19 and 20 and a little bit sloppy. Like, he's a grown-ass man.
55, Jason.
Yeah, so he's our age, basically. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have an affair, but to have the constant reminder of a child. And if you're going to be a loving and supportive parent,
I don't know where the kid was conceived, but maybe the kid lives in California and he lives on the East Coast and just sees the kid every once in a while.
The kid should live in Tibet or something. But it's got to live so far away.
Yeah. Well, she clearly made him post that on Instagram.
Humiliation ritual.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's just a big donk. Yeah, I mean, his entire brand was the good guy lead singer with morals, and he just screwed it all up. Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting? Listen, it's not shy. He's a rock star. He travels all the time. I mean, you'd be foolish to not think otherwise. You know, I'm sorry, just being real. I'll tell you who. I'll give you a similar kind of scenario. And my eyebrows are raised a little bit because no one gives him grief. But like John Bon Jovi admitted that he slept with like 500 women while he was been married.
Right.
Did you remember reading that? That came out about a few months ago.
I knew he had had transgressions.
Yeah, and he was kind of like bragging about all the chicks he banged.
Like he came of age in the 80s. He was a huge rock star in the hedonistic 80s. Like, nobody's going to stay monogamous when you're doing 250 nights a year and there's a woman that just wants to bang you at every tour stop. Like, it's... Yeah.
And you guys are probably hammered out of your minds and you're just making bad decisions.
Of course they were.
You know, on the daily, so...
He gave love a bad name.
A lot of musical puns in the segment, Valdez.
This is so crazy. How is Rachel Gunn, also known as what, Cakes?
I'm supposed to know who Rachel
is. She the
Gunn is?
Now I'm forgetting her stupid name. That's the Olympian breakdancer,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Australian breakdancer. Ray Gunn.
I'm supposed to know her by name,
Ray
that person.
Gunn. Well, she became famous.
Well, for 15 minutes. Her 15 minutes
EB's giving her a 16th minute.
Her 15 minutes officially up in my book.
Was she good or bad? I don't remember.
She was horrific, and everyone mocked her.
Oh, okay.
And she was kind of like on the committee, her and her husband, and she kind of nominated herself because nobody in Australia.
I'm going to go get a trip to. I've already forgotten where the Olympics are. Yeah, free trip.
Jason, could you ever do the worm? Because that's about all she could do.
I mean, I tried doing the worm. My legs were always askew. I could never keep them straight.
So apparently, according to some weird scoring system, she's actually the number one ranked female breakdancer in the world. She's the worst in the world.
There are rankings for breakdancers.
Yes. But even though she didn't medal, she was mocked. She did, I guess, maybe win some event. Maybe the event that got her in there. And the way they do the scoring, they base it on your top four performances over the last 12 months and only the last 12 months. So everybody else had all these other performances and maybe didn't sprinkle in the wins. She had a win, so she's number one, the way the scoring works. It's really bizarre.
So the story is she's the number one
best breakdancer.
Yes, even though she's the worst.
She should be booed like Daniel Jones was when he left MetLife Stadium when he got into his car after week one.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It was pretty brutal. It was pretty rough.
So Diddy,
Rachel Gunn's 37.
Yeah,
jeez.
You saw that Diddy put his mansion up for sale, right? Shocker,
right?
$61 million mansion. So here's, you wonder why has Diddy not been charged? Like, with all of this evidence, all this craziness out there. So I read a theory on this, and it makes sense. To me. Makes sense to me.
Okay,
They're bleeding him dry financially. So that he can't hit a one-outer with some miracle dream team defense.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to bleed him, and then they're going to hit him. So he's going to bankrupt him, essentially.
Ah, okay.
Bankrupt him. And then when they finally file charges, he'll have Nubs defense team.
Gotcha.
And go down. But an inmate was also awarded $100 million. In a default judgment. So I guess that was something where they just ignored it, right? Is that what it is? He accused Diddy of sexual assault. Derek Lee Cardello Smith, 51, accused Combs of drugging him and sexually assaulting him at a party in Detroit, Michigan in 1997. Now, lawyers...
He said Detroit, Michigan.
That's what it says.
You don't have to say Michigan. Yeah. No, Detroit,
I love this pet peeve of yours.
There's an Oakland, Maryland, right?
Yeah, but nobody thinks. Right. If you say the Oakland Raiders, you don't say the Oakland, California Raiders from back in the day.
I don't even think you have to say... I'm reading... You know why? Because it's a BBC story.
You just say Oakland. You just say Oakland.
Yeah.
If it's Oakland, Maryland, that's when you specify.
Like, there's a Philadelphia, Mississippi, but nobody... When you say Philadelphia, I'm thinking of the place where Bryce Harper hits dingers. Not thinking of the podunk town in Mississippi. I'm with you. I'm team Jason here.
Yeah. It is my pet peeve.
It's very nitpicky.
What is the is there an Oakland, Maryland or a California, Maryland?
I think there's both.
I think.
That's so wild. That's weird. It is weird. One of them is near College Park.
And Valdez gets very upset when people think that Hollywood Brown is named after Hollywood, California. He's right. Actually named after Hollywood Florida, where he's from.
By the way,
it angers Valdez so much.
Did you guys see that there was a crash sort of on the runway with the two Delta flights?
No.
Yes, that was unbelievable.
When did this happen? Yesterday.
It was in Atlanta.
It finally happened. Two planes collided. A commuter plane collided with another sort of regular plane,
right.
Delta.
Well,
combined, 277 people on board.
That's the ultimate nightmare.
Well,
the wing hit
the tail of the smaller commuter plane.
Okay. Yes.
The commuter plane was still.
But the people on the plane said they were terrified.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Because, you know, they were like rocked.
But it was just going like 5 miles an hour.
Right.
Right. So, like, I mean, it could have been worse, obviously.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what?
Imagine being, that would be such a pain in the ass. You got to get off the plane. You got to get bus to another gate.
You mean if you're about to take off or
land? Yeah, I mean, yeah. They were looking forward to getting to wherever they were going. But, yeah. It'll happen again.
You're just thankful you're alive.
True.
But I do sleep on getting plowed when I'm on the runway.
I can dodge bullets, baby.
For some reason, I do sleep on that.
I don't feel comfortable until I feel like we're wheels up.
Isn't that weird?
And we get to cruising altitude.
That's when you feel comfortable.
When we get to cruising altitude, I feel as comfortable as I'm going to feel on a flight. I'm butt nervous when we're taxiing around.
When you land,
there.
and there's that second before the flaps go up or whatever.
Sure.
Before you know that the pilot's got control of slowing it down.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's that second where you land, you're rolling, and then you're kind of waiting for. I know they don't really have brakes, but whatever the braking way they brake, slow down.
Sure.
Until that kicks in and you know he's got control, you're anxious.
Of course.
After that, though.
Always anxious on landings and takeoffs.
After that, though, I settle down. I don't get anxious, but I should be.
Well, there's no more reason to be anxious.
Well, yeah, because now I'm going to taxi back to the thing.
See, that's where I fall asleep, is once we've landed and we're
that's what I'm saying.
Heading to the terminal.
Well, that's what you could get plowed into.
I guess, but I usually, I count my chickens at that point. The chickens are all counted. That's where my blind spot is flying.
Right.
Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus NFL analyst. We'll talk about the Commanders' upcoming game against the Giants, Jaden Daniels' performance, and more. Keep it here. All right, still to come, we got Mike Locksley, head football coach at Maryland. They're off to a 1-1 start, lost to Michigan State 27-24 on Saturday. They got UVA next, so we'll talk to Locks at 9:40. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, joins us coming up at 9 o'clock. Coming up at 9:20, we're going to get into the Commanders and whether Dan Quinn failed to get them ready. Our pal Rick Snyder wrote a column. You can check it out at thefandc.com. And I was telling Valdez to get this audio of Baker Mayfield mic'd up, but there's a moment on the sideline where Baker tells his guys, if they don't double mic, I'm going to him. And this is... I believe the last touchdown was a designed run, and he felt like it was disrespectful that they didn't double Mike Evans, and then he just went, boop, touchdown pass. So that's a defensive coaching decision. It was St. Juiced on him.
It was St. Juiced, yeah.
In that occasion. So we will talk to we'll talk about that coming up at 9:20, but joining us right now is Trevor Sikkema,
Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter. He is an NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. He joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, fellas. How we doing? Appreciate you having me.
What's up?
So, you know what? Let's start with the Tampa side of it. Surprised that Baker throws four touchdowns and then an opener and the offense looks so good?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if surprise is the right word. This is kind of the ceiling of what we could have expected from Baker Mayfield. But, you know, it's not like it was out of the realm of possibility. I think that they ended the year last year really strong. Baker came into this offseason really confident, and the whole team did. You know, I think right before week one got kicked off, I don't remember if it was in a, you know, an article or a podcast or something, but Baker basically said, like, I've never been a part of a group that's this tight-knit, that is this close. And I know a lot of players say that. I genuinely believe that down in Tampa Bay, because Jason Light's done a really good job of not just getting good players, but the right players into that organization. As somebody from Tampa, I've sort of seen him build that firsthand, even when I was down there as a beat reporter. So, you know, to bring in Baker Mayfield and for him to have success, I mean, he's a fiery, passionate guy. People rally around him. People want to root for Baker Mayfield. And when things are going good, people have said this before, whether it was at Oklahoma or with the Cleveland Browns or whatever, when things are going good with Baker Mayfield, they're going great. And the team rallies around him and everybody wants to play really well. That's what we saw this past week. We saw a team that was ready, that was motivated, that's out there having fun. They're playing confident. They're playing loose. And they got some good players to go along with that mindset. So, you know, unfortunately for Washington, it was just bad timing, right? I mean, it's a new coach. It's an entirely new roster. It's a new rookie quarterback. There was so much new going up against a group that, yeah, they had some changes this offseason, but a lot of the main players have primarily been together for a little bit now. So they've had the time to iron things out. So, no, not really shocked that the Mayfield four touchdown performance happened. Although, like I said, this is kind of the ceiling of what they could have achieved.
So Trevor, what were your takeaways watching that rookie quarterback for Washington, the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, 17 of 24 through the air, but really did the damage with his legs, 16 carries, almost 90 yards, found the end zone twice. I mean, they're going to lean heavily on that rushing as they try to figure out who the number two wideout is here in Washington behind Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And, you know, when you look at Todd Bowles' game plan, I'm sure it was like, hey, you know, like, let's try to limit the rushing. And, well, that didn't really work. And I think that's just a testament to how good of a player that Jaden Daniels is. There were a couple of times when he took off in that game, he tucked it to run, and the speed in which he was moving, I was like, whoa, okay, you got to hold your breath. Like, this dude could be a 20, 25-yard rush in the blink of an eye. And I think if you're a Washington fan, that's what you love to see the most. Obviously, of course, you've seen quarterbacks in the past, these mobile quarterbacks, they get hurt. You got to think about that as well. It was a talking point with Jaden, how he's got to make sure that he protects himself as much as possible. But the dual threat ability that he has is extremely impactful. And, you know, I wondered what that was going to look like at NFL speeds, you know, versus NFL defenses. It still looked very dominant to me. So that's going to be a major part of his game. Now, on the flip side, the reason why we saw so many attempts from Daniels is because he was primarily a one read and then tuck it and run kind of a quarterback against Tampa Bay. And that's not to be unexpected, right? As a rookie quarterback who has this kind of ability, who, let's face it, LSU's offense was very much point and shoot. Which one of my all-star wide receivers was going to win this round? Was it going to be Lacy? Was it going to be Brian Thomas Jr.? Was it going to be Malik Nabers? Probably multiple, to be honest with you. And so it was always going to be an adjustment for him to become a progression, read through the pocket type of a quarterback. But I love the rushing ability that we already saw from him. I hope that that allows him to improve as a passer on the run, because as much as he is mobile, he didn't exactly throw the ball a lot when he was out of the pocket last year. And I think that it was a good start for Jaden Daniels. And I do think that, albeit in a loss, you do have to be encouraged with some things that you saw from him.
So we were looking at some of the PFF grades on the quarterbacks, and we were wondering why Josh Allen wasn't number one this week. He's kind of down on your list. And you have Caleb and Jaden right next to each other in the grades. Tell us about the rookie quarterbacks, what you saw from all three.
Well, you know, as the person who grades every single player every week, let me tell you, no, no, but look, I understand, you know, the Josh Allen performance was awesome. There are a couple of throws that he left out there, which is why it wasn't a better grade. But, I mean, you can't just deny what this dude was able to do for Buffalo. And I said before the season, you know, if Buffalo is going to make the playoffs this year with the roster that they currently have constructed, Josh Allen's probably winning MVP because of what he's going to have to do. And I think he got off on the right foot with a big comeback win for him. You know, when it comes to those rookie quarterbacks, yeah, I think that they were all sort of graded similarly. I think Nick's got the lowest grade of the bunch, or actually now I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's pretty close to Jaden. So they're all kind of right there with their overall grades. And, you know, it's funny. I talked about the encouraging moments for Jaden in his performance. I also think that both of the performances from Caleb Williams and Bo Nix were sort of exactly what you wanted, right? Nix kind of tried to push the ball a little bit further, threw a couple of turnover-worthy plays. Obviously, you don't want him to do that, but he was going to have to learn that at the NFL level. It was not going to be as easy as it was at Oregon. And so for him to fail, that could be an incredible teacher for him. And the Broncos didn't draft him at 12 overall because they thought that he was this perfect prospect. They drafted him because they knew where he had to get better. They just trust his coachability and his ability to improve and not make the same mistakes twice or three times or whatever, as limited as possible when he's repeating those mistakes. So what we saw from him, I don't think it was that discouraging. In fact, he had a really nice rushing touchdown from him as he continued to fight towards the end of the game. So I like that. And then on the flip side for Caleb, a lot of inconsistencies with Caleb. You know, I think that there were plenty of times when he sort of felt like he was back at USC, where I remember watching a couple of throws in that game where I go, that's a throw that he makes off platform, feet are all over the place, your throwing motion was all over the place, because he said to himself, okay, I'm in Lincoln Riley's offense, I'm going to throw the ball 50, 55 times a game, and if we don't score a touchdown here, we're probably going to lose the game. And you still saw those tendencies from Caleb Williams, and that's why you saw a lot of the misses and why he didn't get 100 yards passing. But I think it was the best case scenario for him because he struggled, and yet his team won the football game. They won the football game because of their defense. Cannot tell you the last time that USC was able to do that during the 2 years of the Caleb Williams era. And so I think we hope that Caleb was able to go back to his locker after the game, sit down, take a deep breath and go, all right, I played like crap and we won. Like, this is different now. Like, I get to kind of change my mindset here. So it was very interesting. Even though all three quarterbacks struggled, I think it was sort of the start that you would want realistically for these guys.
Yeah, just specifically speaking to Jaden, I mean, because I'm desperate for this guy to be a star, not just be good, to be a star. I was very pleased. I was thrilled. I want to, though, kind of push back a little bit on him being like a one-read guy. Isn't part of that, this combo question, isn't part of that just the pressure that he was under? I mean, Bowles was bringing pressure from all over the place. The offensive line is clearly a weakness. We knew that going in. And he had to get the hell out of there. He didn't have time to sit there and make a bunch of reads, maybe. And then the combo part is, can you evaluate, what did you think of Kingsbury's concepts? He's getting criticized here for having no pre-snap motion, essentially, that's his deal, that he lines up Terry in the same spot, you know, 99% of the time, whatever it is. What did you think of the offensive concepts? Because I gotta tell you, I'm no X's and O's guy, but I wasn't overly impressed.
Yeah, so going back to the first part with pressure, you know, he's pressured on 14 of his dropbacks. That was 11th most in the NFL. You know, he only had 13 passing yards when he was pressured. And so, yeah, I mean, that's obviously the game plan, right? Todd Bowles has been around a long time. Hey, pressure the rookie quarterback, and until he proves us otherwise, we're going to keep doing that. So that was always going to be the game plan going in. And yeah, he struggled a little bit, but again, it's sort of tough. It's sort of like building blocks. And I don't mean to say, hey, he was a one-read quarterback, as in he's always going to be a one-read quarterback. Mm-hmm. It was sort of just kind of how things were always going to go with that game. And I think that, unfortunately for Washington, they didn't exactly have the star power either in the offensive line, just a takeover run game, or sort of like you said, in the receiver room, to say, let's counter what Bowles is doing so they have to switch things up. Instead, it was, all right, Jaden's going to kind of make things happen with his legs, and we got to try to stay in this game in any way that we can. So, you know, when I talk about him being a one-read guy, that was really just what I saw from week one in a good defensive game plan from Bowles. Not that I think that that is going to be right. Who he is overall. So it was sort of a tough test there. And then when you get to Cliff Kingsbury, you know, I think that there were concepts with him when you look at his time with the Arizona Cardinals as well that just didn't evolve and just got kind of stale, even Uh-oh. With some really good players on that team.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I'm not going to say that he can't kind of get better here, but you do sort of have to kind of find a way to get a quarterback into a rhythm, whatever that is. And the best coach, I don't know what the answer, obviously, if I knew what the answer is, I'd be the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders right now. I wouldn't be on the phone with you guys. Mm. But what I would say is that the best coaches in the NFL are the ones that adjust to whatever their players need the most. And there were times in the past when I felt like that wasn't what Kingsbury was doing when he was with the Cardinals. It felt like more of, this is what I would like to do as an offense coordinator. This is what we're going to do. So I wonder if we sort of start to see things a little bit differently. We really, to be honest with you, need a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, we need probably until at least week 4 or 5 to say, all right, let's notice, is he truly lining up Terry McLaurin in the same spot? Because I want this to be clear, too. There were a couple of reps where McLaurin was open. Like, I know his stats aren't like, through the mm-hmm. roof or anything, but there were times when McLaurin was open, he just didn't get the ball or they weren't able to connect. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was, man, he could not get Terry McLaurin the ball. That's not always just a Cliff Kingsbury thing. But when we get into, I would say, week 4 and week 5, that's when you really have the opportunity to look back at how play callers are doing on both sides of the ball and say, let's recognize the tendencies here. Are there things that are not working? Are they being stubborn in one way or the another? Is there still no motion, no pre-snap motion, limited play action? Are we throwing just, you know, too many screens, things like that, like people have talked about with the air raid, all of that? I think you can evaluate that better when we get a little bit further down the road.
Joined by Trevor Sikkema, a PFF NFL analyst at Tampa Bay. Trey, it was a really bad weekend for Joe Shane, the Giants GM. He had to watch Saquon Barkley dismantle the Packers on Friday night. And then on Sunday, he had to watch the Daniel Jones just, you know, implosion, throwing two picks, Giants in a 28-6 bloodbath loss. Like, where do the Giants go from here? That's the Commanders' week 2 opponent. We've talked about it's an early kind of must-win for the Commanders if they want any semblance of a decent season. But talk about what you saw from the Giants and Daniel Jones week 1.
Yeah, not good, right? Yeah. And I unfortunately, this isn't really outside of what was expected. I think that Joe Shane did a nice job trying to upgrade that offensive line as best he could. But he was sort of in a tough spot with Evan Neal, right? But you bring in a couple of guys on the interior. You bring in Jermaine Illuminor to be able to play right tackle for you. You obviously have Andrew Thomas at left. And so you kind of said to yourself, hey, we're doing the best that we can with sort of what's given with the players that are available this year to upgrade the offensive line. And now you're sort of running out of reasons for why Daniel Jones is not the bulk of the problem in New York. And I think a lot of people believe that was the case probably a year or two ago. You know, when he signed that contract, a lot of people were sort of on the fence about it. It's hard to totally blame the regime because it's like, man, the timing was bad with them coming in, and now you got to sign a guy that wasn't really your guy. But if you get rid of him, is there a better option out there? I think we're now fully realizing that there would have been a better option out there somewhere or another. So it's tough sledding for the New York Giants. There's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you this, it's not just on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you go out and you trade for and you sign Brian Burns, and you know, Kayvon Thibodeau gets 11 sacks last year. But if you look kind of deeper into these guys' performance, both of those players had pass rush win percentages around 5%. I mean, the best pass rushers in the NFL are above 20%. And if you want to be a good pass rusher in the NFL, you're somewhere between 15 and 20%. They were at 5, both of these guys. Mm. Dexter Lawrence, the whole talk of the offseason was, finally, they've got edge rushers to take the pressure off of Dexter Lawrence. He's the only guy that could rush the passer this week. Mm. That's it. Thibodeau, still, I mean, it just the 11.5 sacks was just such a, you know, smoke and mirrors. It was an illusion. I went back and I watched all 11.5 of those sacks last year. You know, half of them are cleanup sacks. Half of them he's like barely even blocked. And there's a couple that he was able to show a really nice move, but it's still so far, few and far between, with him being able to win a one-on-one. And now we're seeing that with Brian Burns as well. And so now they've got a lot of money. They've got draft picks in this defensive line that is not producing. I like the potential of their secondary, but not with the front playing the way that it is. So it's just, it's not good in New York right now. And I kind of feel bad for Brian Daboll because, you know, going back to us talking about Josh Allen a little bit earlier, Josh Allen credits Brian Daboll for how much he helped him become the NFL version of the quarterback that he is today. Yeah. I think that Brian Daboll is a fantastic quarterback type of a coach. I think he's a really good offensive mind. And I just think that he's been dealt a hand that there's only so much that you could do with, you know, 7-2 off suit when those are the cards that you get. You know, there's just only so much you could do. You could try to bet it and bluff the right way, but that's how it feels with Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll right now. And that
Trevor, you're
like
speaking Kix's language. Yep. He's a big poker nerd.
I love it. Love that.
Trevor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it,
guys.
Anytime.
Yep.
Good at Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, next here on the Junkies.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.